Today's show is brought to you by Vinyl Me Please. Join the Record of the Month Club at joinvmp.com/songspodcast. Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, I do want to give you a friendly reminder that each and every episode comes with a unique playlist via Spotify or Apple Music. You can go to songspodcast.com or scroll down to the description of this episode and click on a link to the playlist, Apple Music, Spotify. They are there for you to experience the songs that we talk about on each and every episode. Thank you so much, and let's get right to it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Songs for the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack. I am your host, Glenn Rodriguez, and actually next to me in real life, like right next to me, is Sean Hebert. How you doing?
I'm doing really good, man. This IRL shit is dope.
It's the best. I mean, I don't know. Every time I've ever done a show in like in the same room, it's just always better. So I feel like this episode's probably going to be the best one. This is one that wins us all the awards.
Yeah. It's actually it's funny not having to have headphones on or anything like that.
Like you're right there.
Yeah, we can look at each other and everything. It's dope. But yeah, there's gonna be a fun one this week. We're talking about the 2000s, specifically. If you saw the thumbnail that we shared on social about it, it is an iPod. So I specifically thought of it like what I listened to on my iPod the most back when, you know, everybody had iPod classics, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I missed those things.
When that replaced your CD book.
Yep. But I still had a big CD book. Like it was like one of those, I don't know, 100, 200 CD things. I don't know. It's like the fat ones. So I don't know.
Yeah. But, first we're going to get into a little bit of music news. Just really quickly want to gloss over this whole R. Kelly thing. So yeah, if you've been living under a rock, then you are just finding out that R. Kelly turned himself in to police, and dude, shit's going down, man.
Yeah, it's like a laundry list, right, of things that he's done.
Yeah, it's crazy. So like the notes I took here was he's being charged with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse from four victims. Three of them were underage at the time, and happened apparently between 1998 and 2010, which is insane. Like I've heard, like, you know, he had, you know, girls locked up in rooms and stuff like that.
Jeez.
Yeah, like maybe, crazy deviant shit.
Yeah, that's sex trafficking basically.
And apparently Homeland Security, from like the end of a blurb on like a news channels, one of the anchors said that Homeland Security is looking into sex trafficking.
Damn.
Yeah, with him. So that's crazy, man. And honestly, I'm not surprised because Chappelle did that piss on. That whole thing. Yeah, that took place in 2003. And did any of us forget about that? That shit was like what, 16 years ago now?
Yeah. I mean, everyone was singing it. Everyone was making fun of it, and it was like big news then. Now it's like, since we're in the age of the Me Too movement and things like that, a lot of this stuff gets blown open a lot more, which is a good thing. And there's obvious evidence for this one. Like, it's like right there, but it's been there. So we were talking off air where you said, you know, is anyone really surprised? Like, there's a lot of people that are like that were born, that were alive during this happening, like our age, that just first hearing this is surprising them.
Yeah, I mean, if you weren't alive during that, it's crazy because I forget that it's 16 years ago that shit came out.
Such a long time ago.
And apparently, R. Kelly did actually want to fight Dave Chappelle back in 2003 when Piss on You came out.
I don't understand, like, a lot. I know why he got upset, because it's a little bit more than
that. It was a very in-your-face thing. It was like he pisses on people. Like, that was the joke, dude. That was the joke.
It's not like now, it's like where, you know, leaders of state get really mad at a sketch comedy show for making fun of them. It's like, this was more than a joke or a skit. It was literally like, fuck you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not surprised, but it doesn't mean I don't care. You know, like, it's terrible the things that he's being accused of, and it, you know, it's very wrong, and it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, it's.
But are we surprised?
Yeah, I think that's like the question of the week. Like, it's just strange that people will forget that whole thing happened. And I mean, there's the best, like the top comedian at the time making fun of him. It should stick in your brain forever when you're our age, in our 30s or like, you know, late 20s. So I don't know. It's, I hope the victims get their closure, and we're seeing that he might go away for life, right?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't really checked out anything in the past 24 hours past like taking notes, because I knew we were going to brush over this because we talked about it before. But he's definitely going to do some time, dude. Like, he's not getting away with it this time. Like, he was acquitted of all charges back in like 2000 and whatever, when he was charged with all that other stuff.
Yeah.
He was acquitted, but like, dude, you're not getting away with this.
Yeah, not this time. It's a different.
He had to turn himself in, man. This is bad.
You know, and I say this because it's the truth. Like, it's a new era, but I don't want to like think like back then none of this stuff popped off. Like, this has been going, like, sexual assault's been going on forever, and rape and all that. It's a thing, and I love that it's being blown open now, but I wish it never took this long. Like, a lot of these victims that still have to deal with that mentally, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to make light of any of the actual victims in this situation, you know? That whole situation, it just sucks. Like, it's crazy. Like, especially with that whole, that other dude, it's not music related, but that other guy, Jussie, whatever.
Oh, Jussie Smollett. Yeah, yeah. The actor, he's such a good actor too. Yeah. Good singer. And yeah, he screwed that up for a lot of people.
Yeah. It was just funny. Cause I saw a post that, Christy Ilya posted on Instagram. It's like, well, all I'm saying is, why is your name not Jesse?
You sent me that clip, and I didn't get to hear it yet, so I'm definitely going to watch that show.
Yeah, that shit was funny.
But yeah, I really hope, you know, there's closure there for the victims.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next little news story, it's really not like it's not even, it's like, because I'm trying to think of like what... It's not really news, but it's interesting if you're a Rammstein fan. Obviously, if you are, you know that there's a new album coming out. And if you're not, there's a new album coming out. It's been rumored to come out in April. And there was this track leaked called Hira Kush Krishna. And it sounded like Rammstein, like the little clip. Mm-hmm. It sounded like Till. It sounded like down to the keyboard samples used in the song, because it sounds like the keyboard samples they used for their new song Ram 4, which is basically a song with lyrics that are just the titles of their song. It's a really uniquely written, and it's really cool. But this other one, it's been going on. The leak's been going on since November, and it finally came out that it's a friend of Till's band called, what were they called? So it was actually Till's friend, Russian friend in this band, Russian band called Atow, A-T-O-W. And it was their song. They literally like fooled so many. It tells you too how many gullible people out there. Like, I was believing that it was them, and then like the rumors started coming out saying that there's an actual Russian band putting it out, and they're dropping it because the joke has gone on too far. It's kind of like a genius marketing scheme for that band, because they got to use the name of Rammstein, and it is the lead singer's one of his friends in that band who sings. It kind of sounds like old school Till. So Till, the lead singer of Rammstein, everyone. But it's just interesting that they got away with that and got more publicity towards their band than anything they've probably ever done.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, I mean, if he's friends with them, they're not going to get sued. It might have been, they might have come to them beforehand and said like, this is our marketing plan. Are you guys cool with this?
And it's the reason why everyone started before like the actual like track started to leak, and it was just like little clips, and people were like pretty convinced it was them, was because Hira Krishna is a poem that Till wrote. He has a poem book that came out. I think it's called Messer or something like that, which is German for knife, I believe. I'm pretty sure. And he, I guess, was like, yeah, whatever, do your thing, friend. Like, I feel like that's how that worked out, because...
Probably. I mean, I have a feeling that they definitely let them know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, heads up, we're going to basically try to take your fan base.
And it's literally their only good songs. I listen to their other stuff, and it's a Russian guy trying to sing in English, and you could tell that he's having a little trouble because his accent's so thick. But like that song in particular sounded like it could have been off the new Rammstein record, which we haven't heard anything new. We only know that they filmed 5 music videos for it, or they're going to. I think they have 2 or 3 done, and they're doing 5 music videos for it. So they're like doing a lot of stuff ahead of time, which means they're doing a European stadium tour this summer. I feel like they're going to be on the world tour for the next 2 years, you know, touring that album.
Oh, off a new record. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But yeah, other than that, we didn't really have a whole lot of music news, probably because the Oscars are about to happen tonight, because we record this on Sundays, usually remotely from each other, but not today.
We're in the same room.
We're in the same room. Damn. But yeah, so after the break, we will be back with our top 5 lists each from the 2000s, right after these messages.
And welcome back to Songs for the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack. Today, we're talking the 2000s in the same room. It's crazy.
We haven't been in the same room for like a number of years.
A decade, bro.
Yeah, and like a decade, dude. I'm saying a number of years, like it's fucking less than a decade. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, it's insane, but we're here.
That is crazy, man.
It's
been far too long.
Way too long, bro. So we are talking about the 2000s, but before we get to that, just want to say thanks to everyone who's been listening, who's been showing us love. If you really enjoy our show, leave a review. Pretty soon, we are going to be sending out a survey to all of our listeners. So, you know, fill it out. We just want to know who's out there listening, where you guys are from. And, you know, it'll be, you know, it'll help us out a lot if you definitely do that. Also, at the end of the show, we're going to reveal the March Madness Championship Tournament theme. And I think everyone will enjoy this.
Oh, no, I'm sure everybody will enjoy this for sure. We're going to do a bracket style tournament on this show. And I think that's going to be really, really fun. We're going to have special guests that help us solve some arguments and be the neutral third party.
Yep, I think that's how we're gonna do it. I mean, I've done stuff like this before, and it worked out. And the last one I did with where we used to be on NAI Pop, we did a bracket for 90s artists, like all time, and it literally almost it caused fights. I remember the guy did call me a moron, so it was pretty fun. He it disagreed with me on Green Day and how Green Day was very influential, and he didn't believe it.
Dude, Dookie. Yeah. Whatever. All right. This isn't that episode.
It's not that episode. So, lots to look forward to. And at the end, we will let you know what the theme is. And like I said, I think it'll be a very, very controversial but fun theme.
Yeah. So, I'll take the reins and going first on this list. Up first, I'm going to do Converge, Fault and Fracture off of Jane Doe.
Ah, perfect. Yeah,
this record came through and just blasted me in the face. I had never heard anything this chaotic before. It's just, if you've never heard Converge before and you're not into this style of music, then you won't like this song, and that's okay. Because they're not for everybody, but I've seen them live and they're fucking incredible. The energy that they still put off after this many years, dude, they still go so hard live.
I bet.
They go so hard live. I saw them at, what the hell was it? Revolver had like some, or no, Decibel Magazine.
Decibel, okay.
Decibel. They had like some 20th anniversary thing, I think. And Pig Destroyer played. They were incredible. And Converge played. That was the show I got the Pig Destroyer Flexi from. And then it got increased instantly.
Yeah.
As soon as Pig Destroyer started playing.
Those things are flimsy as shit.
Yeah, I know.
I know they're playing, whatever, but it's...
It's cool because they're rare and everything, but you can't, like, you can't travel with them at all.
I feel like, well, like, how many plays do you think you can get out of those?
If you're very careful, probably a few.
Okay.
But, like, it's not the kind of thing, if you see Flexies at a concert, just don't get one at the beginning.
Yeah.
Get it on the way out.
Yeah.
And don't be too bummed if you missed them, because everybody that did get them, they're destroyed. you know what I mean? If they got them before the show.
Yeah. And I forgot. Yeah, that's the... I know that magazine, and then there was another one. I think it was Kerrang that does those flexies every so often.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah, Converge is a band that I've always wanted to see.
They're one of the most... They're one of the best hardcore bands ever, man.
Yeah. They're Trustkill.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Trustkill Records.
They've been around for eons, man. They're super, super respected in the hardcore community.
It's, you know, like,
I don't, Cave-In.
Cave-In, yep.
Cave-In, when they used to be a heavy band, they came up at the same time as Converge, and they're like good friends actually.
I think Converge is not on Throwdown. I think they're on. I forget. I think they're on Throwdown Records or something like that. It was like a...
Wasn't there a band called Throwdown back in the day?
Yeah. Holy Roller. They did a cover of Sir Mix-a-Lot's...
Yes, they did. Okay, it's that band.
Yeah. So, all right. My first song is one I'm sure a lot of you have heard. It was very popular back in the day, and I believe it was the theme song to The OC. It's... California by Phantom Planet. I know it was at the end of Orange County, that movie Orange County with Jack Black and Tom Hanks' son, and it's also got I forget the woman's name.
Oh, I know this song now. Okay.
Yeah, California, that one. It's like it's poppy, but it's good. I love the piano in it. And we were just talking about California not too long ago off air, so like I had to like...
Yep.
I'm not gonna lie, this list was so hard that I put it together minutes before we hit the record button. So I've been thinking about this song a lot, and it's already on a playlist that I have of songs that remind me of LA. And it's a catchy song, and I remember most of the time I heard it was in that movie Orange County. I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a sick.
Dude, it's been a long time.
So long.
Yeah, it used to come on all the time.
That's
on Encore.
Like one of the best Jack Black movies of all time.
Yeah.
But my next jam is, I personally think this is like a scene masterpiece, is Under Oath, Reinventing Your Exit.
Yeah, off of their classic. Only
chasing, yeah, They're Only Chasing Safety is like a gold standard for that kind of music. Like the energy in that record is so good. And if you were an old Under Oath fan when they had their old singer Dallas, You're very split on how Under Oath sounds now with the new singer. It's a very hard split, but I think they needed the singer change. Personally, I never really liked Dallas as a singer. I think the music was really, really good, but I was never down with their singer, especially his scream. I think it sucked.
And
just saying.
Yeah. I mean, this album was the soundtrack to like my after high school, like senior year years. Or maybe no, I think we graduated when this album actually it might have came out right before we graduated. But like hearing this song all the time, all my friends played it. I love Under Oath. And I know they've been through a lot of like turbulent history. Like their singer, Dallas, and the guy after that, I think, had drug problems. And like, you know, they're a Christian band, so
yeah,
there was like a lot of differences. I think their one singer wasn't a Christian, so I heard it on Labeled. It's a Tooth and Nail Records podcast. It's really good. It's hosted by the guy from what's that band? Not May. They sing that song. I had it on. I'll have to think of it a different time, but it's hosted by the one guy or two guys from that band. So, Emery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Emery. So yeah, it was pretty good. And that's what I heard a lot about, like the history of Under Oath. So I didn't know they didn't have like they had that turbulent history. This album I still listen to all the time.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, and I could have picked any song on this record, but this song is the one that gets stuck in my head the most, especially the chorus part. The vocal melody is just an earworm. Like, I listened to this record so much. The one after "Define the Great Line" was pretty good too, but I definitely think this and that record were the definite height of their popularity, I would say.
I would agree.
And I think it's really cool that they put out an album. It was like a best of playlist, and it's so good. It's all the best songs off their records in like such a good flowing order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I listened to it the other day and rocked the hell out to it. It was awesome.
Nice.
But yeah, well, what's your next jam?
Okay. I think I might do a curveball here, man. I think I'm going to replace this Cradle of Filth song.
Okay.
Because I just got to pull up the actual album title. So I'm going to start from a different song and then find that after I'm done talking. So next is Check It Out by Beastie Boys from To the Five Boroughs. I picked this song because I'm a big Beastie Boy fan. I don't like talk about them like all the time, more like most fans probably would do, but I've always had an infatuation with this group. The first record I bought from them was Hello Nasty with Intergalactic on there and all those things. So I love the style of their music video because it's just them just going nuts in front of a camera, and it's like this weird like lens like effect that I can never figure out what it is. And it's not fisheye, it's something totally different. But like, all their songs are catchy, they're fun to listen to. It's not, as the cool kids say, garbage. It's actually decent rap or hip hop that I can get behind.
Yeah, honestly. And like, even that song, you gotta fight for your right to party. What the fuck is that song called?
Fight for Your Right.
Yeah, Fight for Your Right. Okay, I was listening to it the other day, dude, in the car because it was on the radio, and I was like, dude, this song's fucking awesome, man.
Nice.
Like, it's like their first shit, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's so good. Like, they were like a punk band, you know what I mean? But you could still tell that they had that little hip-hop influence to them.
Yeah.
And I don't think there really has been anybody since them that's done it as good as they have.
They're one of the greatest, if not, like, I don't know, they're definitely in the conversation, I think, top five, for me at least.
Absolutely.
And and they have this new book out, you should go get it. I just got it. And
yeah,
it's thick.
Speaking of them, it's thick as fuck.
It's
bro.
Got like, it's their history from the beginnings to when they were a punk band, and to, you know, the passing of MCA and like after, like, you know, what their lives have been. Man, there's so much material in that I don't even know where to start. I mean, I'm going to start from the beginning, obviously, but like, when I get into it, I'm just going to be like admiring what I'm reading. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thick ass book, and that shit didn't make a dent.
Nope.
If you know what that reference is from. Chris D'Elia is the shit. But yeah, anyway, my next song is Deftones' Hexagram.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah, so I mean, I could have done anything off of White Pony because we're talking about 2000s, but I think this record gets overlooked a lot. I saw them on this tour when they played with Poison the Well at the Electric Factory, and it was fucking awesome, but Poison the Well didn't play Nerdy. But they played a lot of good songs. They played really well, too. They're really good live. I was pretty impressed. You could tell that a lot of people didn't know who they were, though, because there was a lot of people there just for Deftones, you know?
They probably made fans, though, out of those people, I would hope.
Yeah, obviously. They played a really good set, but like, you could tell everybody that knew who they were after they were done playing. We were all like, what the fuck? When are you going to play Nerdy? No. No.
It's like, the song of
like,
songs,
like,
my
we
mom.
Knew it wasn't going to happen when we saw somebody take the snare drum off the stand. We were like, motherfucking, they're not doing it. They're really not going to do it.
That almost made my list.
But it was right when Tear from the Red came out.
Okay.
So like, Botula was really big.
Yeah.
And they were probably super fucking tired of playing Nerdy.
Yeah,
especially right after they put out a record, right after that huge fucking underground hit, you know, Opposite of December. It was gigantic
yes, sir.
In the scene, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, enough about Poison the Well. Deftones, Hexagram. they're really good live. I've seen them, I'm going to say like 14, 15 times maybe. They have such like a stage presence to them. You know what I mean? Like they're one of the only bands that like right when they go on, right before they start playing, it's so fucking hype in the room that it feels like the room's gonna explode.
Yeah.
You know? Because like they still can do that to a crowd. They've been doing it forever and they have such a good live show. And I mean, yeah, there's definite videos of them playing shitty because they used to get wasted before shows back in the day.
Yeah.
There's like this famous audio you can get from a show overseas where Chino got really drunk and was running towards the stage and got tackled and beat up by security guards because they thought he was trying to sneak in.
Oh.
And they didn't see his band pass.
Okay.
And then he got the shit kicked out of him. And he was really, really drunk. And then he literally walked right on stage after that and played the show, but like was forgetting lyrics and stuff, and people were booing them and throwing shit. And like they just stopped playing.
That's nuts. That's nuts.
But yeah, it's called Wasted at Wald Rock, if you can ever find that audio online.
I'll try to look for that. It's interesting. I need to see that or hear it.
Deftones, Hexagram off the very underrated album, the self-titled album.
Okay. That's one of my favorites. So the next song, I wanted to do something different, and I did, and I'm pretty proud that I did this because it's an audible. I took off this Cradle-filled song that I could talk about on a different day because I could probably do a whole episode on that band. So we were talking about Under Oath, and another band that kind of fit in that same category that was really big in my teen years and definitely in high school was From Autumn to Ashes.
Holy shit, dude, I haven't heard that name in so long.
And this is the song off their The Fiction We Live, which had the After Dinner Payback, which is awesome, and it was on the Freddy vs. Jason soundtrack. But this song is actually a slower song called No Trivia. And it's the drummer singing it, not their screamer. And it's one of my... I think it might be my favorite song on the album. And it doesn't... In their first album, they had that sad songs, sad stories, tragedies, or whatever
called. Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of started off like that. So I always knew they had a singer and screamer. But Franz, their drummer. And I don't know. We used to make jokes about the song all the time. The beginning, H4VTCNH. I don't even know what the hell that meant. I guess it's an airplane. Like a flight confirmation number or something, but we always used to make fun of that. But no, it's a good song, and it's definitely my favorite. I think it might be my favorite album from them.
Really?
It's the one after that, the one where the screamer left, and it was Fran doing both. Abandon All Your Friends or Abandon Your Friends is really good too. It's really good. I think it might even, I don't know.
Dude, I haven't heard From Autumn to Ashes in so fucking long.
I had to bring them up because we talked about Under Oath, and this is the band I feel like you go hand in hand.
Yeah,
they
were coming up at like the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because I saw Under Oath at Warped Tour. I left watching Under Oath to go see Coheed. Because Coheed was by far the bigger band at the time.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good choice.
Because this was before they're only chasing safety. So this was when they were when the sun still sleeps. That song was still huge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kinda, you know. So I chose to see Coheed. I had to leave Under Oath's set.
I don't blame you. I think From Autumn to Ashes played the Bamboozle Festival, but I missed them. There were so many different bands to see. And I made sure that I made time when Redman was coming on and Method Man. I had to see that.
Speaking of those tours, did you hear Warped Tour is going to be...
Yeah, they're doing a...
On the beach in AC, I think.
Oh, of course. I'm leaving. That happens all the time.
It's like the 20th anniversary. It's a big anniversary of Warped Tour.
And you heard it's on there. Because I always thought they were going to go to like Brooklyn or do something at Jones Beach, like in New York. But they go to AC, man.
Is Google listening to us? Because I typed in Warped Tour and it said 2019 Atlantic City.
Yeah. Oh, they have CBS Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's going to be Atlantic City on the beach.
Dude, that's nuts.
Yep.
Holy hell.
But who's playing, though?
If it's the 25 years, it has to be bands like... like Less Than Jake has to be there.
Offspring has to be there.
Blink. Then you could do a few like bands from today. Obviously, you should do it through the whole. You can even get Sublime with Rome if they're even still together. I don't know. But I think they'll start probably releasing that lineup.
Holy crap, dude. 2-day pre-sale tickets for with stay included at Bally's is $1,100.
That's like WrestleMania, like VI, like
they're
less
making,
than.
They're making this 25-year thing in Atlantic City a really big deal.
That's cool, though. Yeah. I wonder if they're ever going to do something like that in the Wildwood. Because I know they used to do the Wildwood concerts.
I think people would rather play Atlantic City because it's Atlantic City.
Yeah, it's Atlantic City. But yeah, from all the ashes, had to put him on there. I had to call the audible.
Calling an audible.
Calling an audible.
But yeah, my next jam is probably a band that some people haven't heard of before. They're called Fear Before the March of Flames. They changed their name to Just Fear Before after this record cycle was over. But it's the song My Fucking Deer Hunter. Off the album The Always Open Mouth.
Okay.
This, I think, is probably this and the album after that under the Fear Before moniker were probably their best records. A lot of people credit Art Damage to be like their best record. I really didn't like them back then.
Okay.
It's kind of like I felt like them the same way I felt like about Scary Kids Scaring Kids.
I never really
early
liked them.
Stuff.
Yeah,
like their last album, the one with like the white face. That okay. one's awesome. Okay. Really well written songs, but like I did not like their stuff before that. I thought they didn't find their sound yet, and it sounded like they were trying to, but they hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Fear Before. Before this record, but this song My Fucking Deer Hunter is awesome. I think it's the highlight of the entire record. Definitely check them out. It's going to be on the playlist in the show notes, which if you're not checking the show notes, you are seriously fucking up.
Yes, you are. Get those playlists, see the list, go listen to them. You only get a piece of the song in the show, so go support the band and listen to the full song. But I know of the band. I've probably heard some of their songs before, but I can't. I can't make a comment on them when
they're
I just don't remember.
They're unique sounding. Okay. So I put Fear Before into Pandora before,
mm-hmm.
and it only played songs by them.
That's crazy.
I've never had that happen.
That's a deep catalog.
No, not even a deep catalog. Like, nobody really sounds like them.
Oh, okay.
Like, they sound really unique to where, like, Pandora was just like, just kept feeding me
no
four
related
songs.
At bands,
no
yeah.
related bands, nothing.
That's nuts. Yeah, I've never had that happen before either. Yeah.
Pandora was like, dude, I got nothing else.
I got nothing else. Yeah. That's crazy, though. I've never had that happen.
Yeah. So, not really a whole lot to say about them. If they're kind of one of those bands where if you like them, you love them, but other than that, you're probably not going to like them at all.
I dig it. So my next song is a classic Jersey band. I feel like this album and this band was part of the soundtrack to our teens, especially in high school. This is At Your Funeral by Saves the Day off of Stay What You Are. I mean, this is I feel like this is an iconic song in this scene that I feel like they're... I've never heard anybody say bad things about Saves the Day as a band. I know Chris Connolly, I heard, is a dick, but that's another story.
Shocking truth time.
Yeah, sure.
I've never really listened to Saves the Day in my entire life.
Hey, man. I mean, it's...
But everybody, all my friends talk about them, and it's like one of those things where like you don't know what people are talking about. You kind of just smile and nod.
You're like, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. I've heard of them.
I mean, that's just, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I've seen these guys at Bamboozle. This is one of the bands I like stopped for, and Chris Connolly doesn't really like say much to the crowd. At least he didn't that day, so it was like really strange. But it's such a sing along. The beginning of the song, it's like word for word. Like the chorus is a really good sing along chorus, and it's an emo band that really doesn't get talked much about when it comes to like emo.
Some people that know what's up. You know what I mean? I feel like it's the same people that like American football.
Okay. Yeah, that makes
sense. That, like, saves the day. Mm-hmm. But I for some reason, I love American football, and I've never really listened to Saves the Day. And I'm not talking shit either. It's just, like, one of those bands that I never got around to listening to that everybody told me to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, I do a podcast and I tell people to listen to music. So,
well, and it was like there was so much music at that time when we were growing up and we were like discovering all these songs.
Right.
And it's sometimes you miss out on bands you probably should have listened to. You
right.
know?
Right. Yeah.
I never got to like get really into Jimmy Eat World until later in life. And like I knew of them at the time. Bleed American, that song was on a so CD good. Sampler that I had, but I never got into them until, like, I don't know, when the middle was like the biggest hit on the radio at the time.
That's still my favorite song by them, though.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It's really good.
Yeah. I was supposed to put a song by them on the acoustic show that we did, the episode. It was like Hear Me Now, and it's about like their fan club, like two of the members of the fan club got into a car accident and they wrote a song about them because they passed away, which sucks. And like they were like the fan club members, like if they were in town they would house them, feed them and everything, which is pretty sweet.
Okay.
So yeah, it was like a really big deal. So but enough about Jimmy and his world that he
but yeah, my last song is I just added this before we started recording. Because I wasn't sure what the hell to do for my last song. I was scrolling through my iTunes list and I saw this band. And when I think, okay, so the thumbnail for this episode was an iPod. And how I made my list was, what bands do I think of when I think of my old iPod? And one of the first ones I thought of was Seosin.
Okay.
And the song Lost Symphonies off their first record. When they had Anthony Green. This is like one of the most nostalgic, where this changed me listening to a lot of different music. Like for some reason, a lot of people that listen to heavy music loved this record.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always these bands that like metal fans will just accept. Mm-hmm. In the scene, and I feel like Seosin was one of those bands that wasn't metal, but they were super accepted in that scene as being like really good.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone that I know personally that are in both scenes talk bad about this band, so yeah, that's pretty cool. There's always that one band though.
Yeah, true. Like there's a band called I Alaska that I think I put on here before, and they were also one of those bands that's really, really good, but they were accepted by a lot of people in the metal scene, and they were like a pop band.
Yeah. I would love to do like a poll to like how many times we mention some of these bands like in a playlist, because Anthony Green's come up a lot in our playlist.
Well, he's been in so many things, you know. He's been in Seosin, he's been in Circus Survive, he does his own stuff, he does Sound of Animals Fighting, who's touring right now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just found out because I saw they were posting stuff on Instagram, and I was like, oh, do they have a new record? And no, they don't. Still touring off the same record that came out in 2008.
Really?
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
Sound of Animals Fighting. They still are touring off that. It's a good record.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody in that band is in other bands. Like, I think the guitar players are from RX Bandits.
Okay.
The guy from Chiodos was the other singer.
Hmm.
I forget who the drummer is. I think the drummer was from RX Bandits.
Okay.
I forget where the bass player's from. So like they're all in really big bands, and mm-hmm. they just got together to do these two albums that just so happen to be really good.
That's crazy. Chiodos, I must.
Chiodos is, I've heard Craig Owens is a dick, but like other than that, they're pretty good. Like I honestly like my favorite Chiodos record is the one without him in it.
Okay.
Illumin Audio. I think that's their best record.
I don't think I heard that one.
It's the one that doesn't have him in it.
Okay, I'll have to check it out then. I saw those guys at Bamboozle too, and they played as Chiodos, and the next day they played as a mystery band called Fluff My Boner. Just we're like, who's this? What's this band? I got to see what this is, and it's fucking Chiodos. Like, okay, two days in a row, it's fine. It's all right. It's all good. My last song is actually a curveball. I think it's no question or no like coincidence that I picked this guy's band, but I am a really big Ghost fan, but I like a lot of other things that Tobias Forge has done in his career. Back in the day, he had a band called Subvision, and he had a song called Necropolis off of So Far So Noir. And I can tell you this, if you've never heard of anything other than Ghost, and you go back and listen to that first Ghost album, Opus Eponymous, and you listen to this song by Subvision, obviously fronted and by Tobias Forge, the lead singer of Ghost and the mastermind, but also a few of the original members of Ghost are in Subvision too, the ones that are suing them, or try to at least.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That didn't go through for them very good. It sounds like it could be like a lost Ghost song. It's the craziest thing. And not just because of Tobias's voice, it's the lyrical matter and the way the band sounds. And obviously Opus Eponymous was a bigger sounding album, sounded like a 70s cult rock band, horror, whatever. There's other names for doom metal, things like
shock
that.
Rock.
Yeah. And it's just crazy. And I listened to this album that they put out, and it's so good. It's just really, really good music. And Tobias has a solo album that he was supposed to put out at the same time and never came out. But the guy is unbelievably talented. And I thought, it's the 2000s, and this album came out in 2003. So,
oh, wow.
Right in the early,
that was way early.
Yeah. And this guy's been around for a long time putting out great music. He was even in a...
On the Low.
Yeah. He was also in a death metal band called Repugnant.
I've heard of them.
He was the lead singer of that, and he had corpse paint on him. It was cool. Blood. And I think he went by Mary Gore. That was his stage name.
But, was that your last song?
Yep.
Damn, you don't have a bonus, and neither do I. It was, for some reason, this was hard. It was hard because I had to narrow it down. There's a ton of shit like that. It's funny because the MySpace era and this era kind of coincide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was trying to make the list different than we did a couple of episodes ago, you know?
Yeah.
But they are very different. Mm-hmm. Just because it's the same time period doesn't mean... there's a lot of bands I discovered not from MySpace in that time period.
Yeah.
You know?
And there was a couple songs from the skate punk era that were made in the early 2000s, what we're doing. So I could have put on bands that I forgot, like Pennywise and Rancid, and I was... But we can make a bigger list one day of all the songs we like from these. We're gonna probably do a part two because I feel like this is any of the decades we could do a part two or three. The 2000s were great, and the iPod. I'm glad that invoked memories for you, and definitely did for me.
Yeah, definitely. That's how I took to writing this list. I was like, all right, well, what do I remember when I think of my iPod? You know, because nobody has a fucking iPod anymore. Everybody has a cell phone, and everybody streams. There's no reason to hold music on your phone anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, but it's always good to have a hard drive, next. External,
I got one right here, man.
Just full of music.
That's all my music.
It's your backup. But in case Spotify and Apple Music and Pandora and all those streaming servers somehow
I don't have internet or something like that.
They disappear forever. So I guess we can take care of some breaking news of what the theme is going to be for the first annual March Madness Championship bracket. I think we decided on how many. I think it's
32,
which is good. We could have done a 64 and did a legit NCAA basketball bracket.
But we're trying to do this in 4 weeks. We're trying to do this over March. So yeah. If we did 64, I feel like we'd be rushing through.
Yeah.
To get it done. So I think 32 is good.
So the first episode will drop on March 18th, the day after I turn 32. Old. And the theme we talked about, I don't know how many different ones that we talk about. I think we wanted to keep it in what we're trying to do with this episode, the theme we actually picked. I think we wanted to keep it in that, and I think the original one was one more than, I don't want to give it away yet, so one more of what it actually ended up being. We could have done anything, but
We decided to choose 80s as our bracket. So we're going to choose what we believe to be the 32 best songs from the 1980s, spanning any genre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And put them in a bracket, and they all go head to head until there's one winner, and that one is crowned the best song of the 1980s.
And obviously, this is very, very subjective, but it's going to be fun, and we're going to create an actual bracket, and we'll release our 32 songs. But play along, like, you can go off of ours and have like a bracketology type thing, and don't let one song bust your bracket. Like, that happens in the basketball thing all the time, where they pick, like, I don't know, Duke to beat Subterranean Tech. Okay, that's not even a real school, but Subterranean Tech, right? But like, Subterranean, the underground school, scores like 30 points in the second half, and Duke loses as an upset in the first round. Yeah, you pick Duke to win the whole thing, they're done. They're not, your whole bracket's busted. So don't pick I'm a Virgin by Madonna and it doesn't win, because it's not going to make it out of the first round probably. So if we even pick that.
Well, I mean, hey, but the reason we're having a guest though is so we can keep things, so we have a third party, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A referee here, because sometimes, you know, if you've listened to the show for long enough, you know, I'm into certain music, you know, Glenn's into certain music. So, it's funny because I can point at you and say he, and
yeah, you're not pointing at the,
yeah, yeah, I'm not
the,
like,
the wave file,
yeah, yeah, that's yeah, in front yeah, of you're us. You're actually next to me now. So yeah. So Glenn obviously has his own taste in music. I do too. So we need a third party here to keep things from getting a little fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we'll argue, but like, maybe the guests will have arguments with when they pick.
Yeah, and honestly, we want you guys, like, we're gonna tweet out the bracket and share it on socials. If you don't follow us, definitely follow us at Songs Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. We're gonna tweet out the bracket, and we definitely want to see some engagement from you guys, like what you think. Like, every episode, I guess we're gonna have to choose a certain group of brackets that are going to be on the episode, and that's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like it's going to be more than 4 weeks, probably.
Yeah, it might span over more than a month. Yeah.
But it's our first big theme, and I can't wait to do it, because we could have easily done an 80s episode already. We kind of did. We did 80s rock, and I feel like that's probably the reason why we picked this one, because that's one of our
biggest episodes.
A lot of people like that one. So
you know, if you guys like that, you're definitely gonna like this. And if you listen to that episode and you enjoyed it, and you're excited about this, tweet at us. Definitely engage with the bracket, because, you know, you guys might be able to sway our decision. We'll be putting polls up and everything. Change my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The change my mind, it's like that meme.
Exactly.
That stupid Steven Crowder meme.
Eddie Van Halen wins the 80s. Change my mind.
Yeah, pretty much. Me and my roommate were talking about who liked the soul and the heart of like Van Halen, the original Van Halen and the new one. And I made a joke, it's always been Alex Van Halen, but that guy is super mean and he never smiles. And he's just a drummer that's tough. He's like, you know, you have the happy-go-lucky David Lee Roth. You have like the quiet one. What's his name? Something Anthony, the bass player, Michael Anthony. And then you have, you know, the cool guy, and that is Eddie. And then you have asshole Alex. Always that. And then the heart and soul, obviously, of Van Hagar was Van Hagar, like Sammy Hagar. That dude wrote some great lyrics. But that's I could do a whole thing.
You could have a guest on here and just debate that, you know what I mean? You could have one of those memes as an episode, like Sammy Hagar was the better Van Halen, Changed My Mind. An episode of like a debate. You could do that for sure.
There you go. I'm coming up with ideas on the spot. I like it. But yeah, a few other programming notes. Let us know what you guys thought about the retro episode, because we have a whole bunch of like that first few episodes that we did.
Yeah.
You probably still have this stuff from Pop, right?
Dude, I'm a file hoarder. I have everything.
So every once in a blue moon, we'll drop one. I mean, we don't even have to drop it as an episode. We just wanted to take a break that week. And it was good, because I think we came back with a surprise episode in the same room. Sadly, we won't be doing this again until, I don't know, maybe in the summertime. Hopefully, cross our fingers. We have some cool news coming up soon. Well, other than that, merch.songspodcast.com. Pick you up a nice Songs for the Moment t-shirt. I personally like the baseball design. I wore it yesterday and I was like, had my jacket and I kind of like open it up and just like flashing in people's faces. Go listen to our show, please.
Yeah, yeah. Go pick up a show. Go pick up a
Whoa.
Whoa, dude. Did I just have a stroke, man? That's going in.
It's staying.
That's staying. All right. So yeah, go pick up a shirt is what I was trying to say and share the show. Follow us on all of our socials at Songs Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Sean Songscast. You can find me on Instagram at Sean Songs Podcast. Other than that, Glenn, I know you're kind of taking a break from social right now, but I think they can still follow you on Instagram
at Real G Rod. I'm kind of technically still on Twitter, but like I am at the point where I only focus on the Songs Podcast one.
It's a good thing.
But like on my personal one, I've even muted friends on there, like that I like rest the wrestling friends that I have. Like, I'm sorry, guys. I love you, but like, I don't want to see wrestling all day, and I kind of wanted to keep it to like what I want to see. Like, I want to see news or like the new t-shirt line Fright Rags is putting out. Like, I want to see the stuff that I care about first, not garbage or you talking about tea or something. Tea and standing, it's the kids these days.
Yeah, but anyway, for myself and Glenn, it's been Songs from the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack. We're out of here.